for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, September the 2nd, 2011. Kyle Neese is the speaker of this service teaching on Take My Yoke.
For this night I have called ye my people into this place, and every place where they are hearing ye this my voice, I say to you, do not be moved or be shaken by what you see with your physical eyes. For this weekend I have brought you here, and I have laid a sure foundation, and I have reminded you of who you are in me. I have reminded you of my promises to you. Do not be shaken. Do not be moved. Look neither to the left nor to the right, for I am your God. I am King of Kings and I am Lord of Lords. Besides me, there is no other. Seek my face as you have never sought it before, for things are changing. I have called for change, and things are changing. There is a momentum in me that you must be aware of. There is a momentum in the time and the season. Seek out my face. Seek out my face, that you dare not miss my momentum. You dare not miss the way that I am going. For those that miss my momentum will find things hard. But because I am a God of love, I am a God of truth, I speak to you this night. Seek my face. Seek my face. Come into the secret place. Pray to me. Call out to me. Yearn for me. I will pour myself out on you as I have promised. I will pour myself out on you. I will show signs and miracles and wonders for those that do not know me. I will be father to the fatherless. I will be a mother to the motherless. But you, my people, must seek my face. You must cry out to me. You must pray as you have never prayed before. Intercede. Intercede. Morning, noon, and night. Do not forget that I said in my word that I will show up with signs and wonders. I will not take long in these last days. I will move quickly upon your word. Search your heart. Receive the deliverance that is yours. Receive the deliverance that is yours. Know who you are. Know who you are. I have called you. I have called you. I called you into the secret place. Hear my voice. Do not move. Do not go left or right till I say move. Do all that I say for you to do. And you will not sleep nor slumber. You will not be afraid. You will know who I am. You will know which way I'm coming. You will know when to move. You will know what to do. All things are in me. All things begin in me. I am God. I am He. It is by my breath that things were created. It is by my word that things came together. Read my word. My word is inspired. My word will feed you. My word will grow you. My word will deliver you. I am the word. I am truth. I am the Almighty God. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am El Shaddai. I am all that you need. Forget not my word tonight. Make change. Make change in a hurry. Do not get caught up in doing things like you've always done, doing them the same old way. I am God. I must change you. Do not resist the change. Come into my prayer closet. Hide in me. Hide under my feathers. Know that I'm God. And I will show you the way, saith the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. shall be obedient to follow your word, God. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We will be obedient to your word, God. Thank you, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just remember, be not disturbed, hold fast, and stand your ground. Because as my child has spoken, the changes are coming. So be flexible. If I say go here or there or stay, be flexible. Stay attuned to heaven, for I'm speaking. And for some, it will be a quick move. It will not be time to ponder long. It will be pack and you go. Because I'm changing. I am shifting. It will not be the same. So stay tuned to heaven, because I will be speaking. And my children know their voice. Remember, there will not be for some a long drawn out period. It will be quick. You pack and I take you here. I take you there. For some, it will be other countries. So be not disturbed. Trust your God loves you and He is in control. Everything is right on time. Keep your eyes focused. Eyes focused. Focused on me. Your ear attuned to heaven. Because you are my children. And I have a wonderful plan for you and your family. Your seed and your seed seed. I created them. This is not all by happenstance. You're not an accident. I have a plan for you. And it will be fun. We will get much work done, saith the Lord. The time is quick. We do a quick work. I need you here. I need you there. I need you there. Study. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready, saith the Lord. Because we will move quick in some instances. Some, it will not be as quick. But remember, I am your God. I know every hair on your head. I know right where you are. And I love you. And we have a plan here. We will walk it out. We will accomplish it. And remember, all is well, saith the Lord.
A quiet place with you, oh Lord, fills my life with a living word, and I will sing you a love song. Teach me, Lord, now to sing. I will sing you a love song in this place. A quiet place with you, oh Lord, makes me sing and hear your word. And I will sing you a love song. Open up my heart to sing. I will sing you a love song in this place, in this place, in this place, in this place where the stars do shine. It's in this place where your heart becomes mine, in this place. Your heart is mine in this place. bless you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that there is a place with you. We thank you that you is a place you long to draw our hearts. And it's a place where, Lord, like Abraham, you take us out and you show us the stars and you say, you make promises, Lord, that you call us in faith to believe. And I thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. That tonight, Lord, we're in a place, Lord, to receive your promises. You've made promises to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Empower us. Strengthen us, Lord, to claim what's ours. To take ownership of what's ours, Lord, of what you've promised us, Lord. It's like the sister said today, Lord, you're saying, ask what you will. I've already done it. It's already so. I've declared that you're hidden. When will you press in and draw near to get the resources that are yours? They're yours. I offer them to you. So, Lord, we just thank you that you offer us the stars. You say, believe and trust in me, Lord. Bless you, Lord. The quiet place with you, oh Lord, fills my life with a living word. So I can sing you a love song. Teach me, Jesus, to sing. I will sing you a love song in this place, in this place. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Open your Bibles to Matthew 11.
Yeah, there was an excitement in my heart just to share tonight. I don't know why. It's not always that, you know. Sometimes there's just a, but there was an excitement in my heart to share. You know, there could be. I ask you to go to Matthew 11. There could have been a hundred or things or so that could have been warmed up, I guess, to present to you, you know, tonight. But you know, I don't think the Lord wants any of us to have leftovers. I don't think you've come for leftovers. And I think God is wanting, He's wanting to speak something to your heart tonight, in my heart tonight, that there's an anointing that breaks yokes. Have I said that? There is an anointing that breaks off every yoke. There is an anointing that breaks every yoke of oppression. I think the Lord wants you to receive that tonight. I don't know what that means for you. That's between you and God. But there is an anointing that breaks every yoke of oppression. I believe the Lord would have me say that. You know, I think one day last week I woke up. And as I woke up, it was almost the Lord dropped in my heart a download for you. I felt like when I got up and I recorded the little thing in my little phone. You know, sometimes I get a thought, and if I don't get the thought down, I may lose the thought, you know. But it was almost as I woke up and as my feet hit the floor, this word came that there is an anointing that breaks off every yoke of oppression. And I felt in my heart, this is for you. It's a word for you. Now, the word I shared last night was much the same thing. There is an anointing that breaks yokes, right? But I had heard that yesterday or day before in a Bible study. I heard it again, I guess, almost independently of the first time I heard it. So I guess the Lord must really want to say that and make that point to you. There is an anointing that breaks off every yoke. And I think that's, you know, what the Lord is Jesus is saying to us here. There is anointing. You know, at the risk of saying this again, you know, I think it's important that it be said again. Because I believe He wants you released from whatever oppressive thing that's working in your life. He wants you released from that oppressive thing because you're no good to Him unless you get some release on that. God says, I want to release you. And at the risk of continuing on with something that sounds like old bread, I think it's new, something that He wants to speak to you. Listen to his invitation. You know, as a kid, the thing that used to touch my heart about, you know, I grew up in the Baptist church, and I'll say one thing, you know, I was touched as a young person by of all the songs that we could sing, it was the hymns that would speak, the old hymns of invitation that would speak to my heart. You know, at the end, because they were saying, get serious with God for me. I don't know if some of you may or may not have experienced that, but as a kid, I could see that at the hymns of invitation, they were almost Jesus knocking, speaking to me, come do business, make a decision. I have something for you, but you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to make a decision. So I like that this is Jesus' invitation to you and me in Matthew 11:28. Read it with me.
Lord, we ask you tonight, help us to receive from you. Help us to receive that word, Lord, that changes our life. Lord, we desperately need that word, that one word that can forever change us. Lord, no greater thing did you do than when on the day that we received you, you brought joy and gladness into our heart. And so, Lord, we're just asking for just a continuation of that very thing that you call us to. And we thank you for your invitation. And we ask the Lord you speak your words to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have heard this 1,000 times, but I pray it comes like a fresh word to your ear. Matthew 11, verse 28, he says this. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know, that rest sounds like release, doesn't it? Release. Jesus says to you and me, come to me all. You know, I never get tired of hearing that. I don't know about you. I never get tired of hearing that or seeing that image, or never to get tired of the potter and the potter's wheel. You know what I'm saying? It brings comfort to my heart when God says, get up there on that wheel. My hands. I don't know how to mold and ply. I'm so grateful for that work and for that picture that he gives to us. And this picture here of Jesus himself speaking, saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's an invitation. He's saying, child, you know, move toward me. Take my yoke. That's rest. Take my yoke. It's a yoke of rest. It's a yoke of liberty. God says, I want to bring liberty in your life. I want to bring release. Take my yoke. You know, Tom touched my heart this afternoon. We were speaking, and he just shared something, I guess, as a testimony of his own life, and it blessed me. It had something to do with, you know, sometimes those judgments that we make against our children. I forget how he said it. I don't even know if he's here. But he'd made that statement that sometimes those judgments, you know, you're going to have to release our children from those judgments. Sometimes that we've got them under our thumb, or we have that ideal that we think, you know, the picture, the ideal that he said, you got to come to release them from that. If you're not going to release, you've got, you know, I wrote this down that you're going to have to release them from your yoke. And remand them to Jesus in the heavenlies at his right hand. Release, be willing to release your, you know, that is the Father's heart. Think about it. That's God's heart to you. He's remanded you and me to Jesus in the heavenlies. I think he sits at the right hand of God. Is that right? He sits at the right hand of his power, and he says he makes intercession for you. So it means he cares for you right now. He's presiding over that burden that you think so heavy that you can't. That burden, he's presiding over that, praying for you even in the moment we speak. It's his desire to release you from that. But he says to you, from your children, be prepared, release them from your yoke and remand them to Jesus in the heavenlies at his right hand of power. Boy, that's powerful. When he spoke that, it touched my heart. It was moved me. I mean, I could see he was bearing his heart of some things. And you know, it touched me because I saw myself there with my children. Sometimes I'm wanting to be so perfect. And they don't meet my perfect ideal, I want to lose heart. I want to sort of, well, you know, I was building a building, this building that we've been talking about, and we were going to put some of this oak that we'd rough cut, and we decided to put that and save that for the interior. Instead, we went to Dallas and bought a bunch of cedar. We bought a whole load of cedar siding, and I'm hanging this cedar. We paid good money for this cedar, and I'm hanging it up with some guys, and we're getting that on across the front. And as I noticed we were going across the front, the boards were all checked and cracked, and some of them had some big splits, and I'm thinking, what's that? And they kept telling me, it's rough cedar, Kyle. That's what you bought, rough cedar. It just kind of comes that way. Sometimes the nature of wood, it's just kind of cracked and chipped and warped, and it's got some knots. That's just what that is. And you know, as we were building that, one in reference to my children, I believe God gave me a revelation one time as we were building. We were three quarters of the way around. We'd made our way around to the front of the building, and we put this, and I start noticing all the cracks, and it just looks really terrible. I mean, to my look, I'm thinking, what am I doing hanging all this on here? Maybe we should. So in the event, what God said to me, said something. He said, step back. And I'm looking at the, and he says, what are you going to do? You're going to take all this wood off? You're going to rip it all off? No, you're going to continue building for my glory. You're going to continue to hang this wood. And when you get done, you're going to step back and you're going to see a thing of beauty, because I'm going to make it one monolithic piece. You know, isn't that the way he does sometimes? He takes our checks and our warps and our things, and he fits us in, and he makes it a thing of his glory. He's about making your life a thing for his glory. God says, get over yourself. Get over yourself. And I'm saying to you, I want you to be released from that burden. From people looking at it. I had a burden of my, I was burdened for one of my children. Wondering at God, you know, make the right decision. I was burdened. And God said, He used that building as an, He says, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? You're not going to anymore, and you're going to take this. No, you're going to continue, and you, son, are going to trust me. But I hold the power in my hand. I control the wind and the waves. I remove the fog, and I release men from their burdens. And you're going to trust me for what God could do in their life. You know, if you give up on your children, well, they got no hope. God's saying, I want you to remand them to me at the right hand of God in my power, and trust me. As it comes a chance, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me so that you can be a voice of reason, a voice of sound thinking into their life. You're going to have to be the kind of parent that they're seeing praying through some things, encouraging them to not lose faith so that, you know, when their faith about to fail, somebody's giving them a witness and a testimony. God wants to use you, but you're going to have to release your children. That blessed me. God says, I want to release you from your burdens. You know, there's an anointing. God must really want to tell you that this morning, this tonight. God, there's an anointing that breaks off every yoke of oppression. You know, to break the yoke of oppression, you and I need to see some and be party to some mighty things, though. It's not just saying it. It's not just wishing it so. You and I got to get in on the mighty things that God's done and provided for our life. You know, first of all, is to recognize this. God's brought you here for a purpose. That there's no coincidence. You know, God has you here for a reason. If you have a burden, God wants to release you tonight. I think that's apparently clear. He wants you to be willing to receive His mighty things, to receive what He can do. God's brought you here. The second thing is, I think it's important, and I appreciate that Carla in the message this morning, she made a point about Hebrews 11, I'm sorry, 1, verse 14. There are ministering angels sent out, ministering spirits sent out on behalf of, you know what I mean, this work of God in your life. You know, for you and I, we're going to need these mighty things. And God's got some ministering spirits that I believe He wants you to be part and be party to of surrendering and submitting and receiving, you know, to take His yoke. God says that's what He's saying to do. I want you to take my yoke. I want us just to pray just a minute. Holy Spirit, we ask you to administer the yoke of Jesus. You say that to break the yoke of oppression. To break the yoke, you got to take the yoke. Jesus said, take my yoke. I believe that was your word. Take my yoke, Jesus says. So to break the yoke, we got to take your yoke. You'll show us what that is. Holy Spirit, we need you to administer the yoke of Jesus. Administer the yoke. Open up every heart, every place, every part that's heavy, every person that's heavy. Lord, if it's just one person here, I ask that you bring a mighty release. Holy Spirit, we ask you, administer the yoke of Jesus. And that we could take off our yoke. Lord, that we could be relieved from that burdensome thing in Jesus' name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. To take His yoke, you and I need the spirit of brokenness. That's an important thing. There's administering spirits sent to do some things. I believe there's a spirit of brokenness that you and I need to be party up to. In order to be released from that, when you stop and think about it, in order to break off the heavy yoke, you need what? Brokenness, right? A spirit of brokenness. It's kind of, you know, it ought to just be just a no-brainer, but we need the spirit of, we don't really like that sometimes. You know what I'm saying? When we think about it, we think, oh gosh, the spirit of brokenness. But you know, really, you can't make any ground with God without the spirit of brokenness. Holy Spirit, we need Him to administer that spirit of brokenness. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5, a scripture that, I don't know if it was read this morning, we were in that passage in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want you to see something here. I want you to see these points confirmed in the Word that you and I need some mighty things to take place in our life. You know, so I'll just remind you again, Jesus said, take my yoke. To take, you know, to break the yoke, you got to take the yoke, He says. You need to receive, in other words. In order to receive, though, you got to clear the fog. I see sometimes, I sense this afternoon there's a fog in the building. There's a fog in some of your lives and you're thinking, well, I'm not getting anywhere with God. I'm not, you know, in order to receive anything from God, He's got to clear the fog. He's got to lift the fog or you just don't get it. You know what I'm getting at? You couldn't have come to Him unless He drew your heart. And you and I don't get anywhere with Him unless He clears the fog and He opens up to us a spirit of revelation that's coming. But I believe first there's a spirit of brokenness that needs to be addressed. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:1-5. I want you to get this. He says this, 2 Corinthians 5. I'm sure, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. Sounds like a breakdown. If we know that the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan. Sounds like a burden. Longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. There's some things that are just, you know, I want you to see there's a spirit of brokenness sort of just tearing us up here and rending our garment. For inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. I want you to see the spirit of brokenness. There's a spirit of brokenness. There's a groaning. There's an agonizing. There is a burden. You see, you heard the burden. And he names it. It's the Spirit of God as a pledge, a groaning in our heart, the spirit of brokenness. You know, that's in contrast to what Carla was speaking about this morning, that sometimes when you're such a broke, lowly place of self-esteem where you just, you know what I'm saying? In other words, you're just kind of in misery and miserable. You know, this spirit of brokenness is a different kind of thing. This is the thing that God works with, this spirit of brokenness. I want to communicate this to you. This spirit of brokenness, it's born of the Spirit of God, and it's a thing where God Himself presides over. It's not like a driving rain that leaves nothing. It's like a gentle rain that God sends in a timely way. It's a work. It's not something I think we have to fear, though sometimes we're afraid of this spirit of brokenness. You know, it's a thing that God wants to use for good in our life, you know. It's a loneliness. I can remember when I was in college 100 years ago, and I was driving back and forth to Abilene, I was lonely. And I can relate to this because I shared this recently with my son as we were coming back from Colorado, and actually we were passing the exact route that I used to take to college, and here I was, and we were working through some things. Man, there were some tears. We were working through some things. And I was going back, I was reminded of those same tears that I had some 20, 30 years before. That going back and forth from my loneliness, God brought a spirit of brokenness. In my loneliness, in my despair, in my deep despair, and I was trying to relate that to him, and I shared that with just him today on the phone. You know, take your loneliness, your despair. He's away at college, and some things that may, you know, you may be a little, there may be some things that are heavy on your heart. Take all of that to God. It's a void that He will fill, and He will bring the spirit of brokenness. And in it, if you get the spirit of brokenness, you're not running to man. You're not running to somebody else, or you're not running over here, running there. You're running into Him in that hidden place. You're running toward His presence, and there you'll find the power of the living God to set you free. God's saying, I want you to experience that. If you're not experiencing that, I want you. Last night it was a commitment to the hidden place. He's saying more of the same. It's a spirit of brokenness that's going to produce in your struggle, in your burden. It's a place of discovery. God's saying, I want you to get that. I want you to get the spirit of brokenness because I myself are presiding. God's saying, I'm presiding over that. I'll preside over that thing to heal that if you'll work with me. You know, listen. This spirit of brokenness will produce, hear this, the spirit of brokenness will produce a spirit of genuine love. It will. His spirit of brokenness, it will produce the spirit of genuine love. That's something else you need. You could say coupled with the spirit of brokenness. You could say those two things are almost hinged. It's almost like different side, same coin, two sides of the same coin. The spirit of brokenness, it's kind of like, fear. The perfect love casts out fear. They go together. This spirit of brokenness, this agonizing, this working with God, it produces love. It will produce a spirit of love. Look, read with me in verse, I think it's verse 14. Read with me. Same passage, it's in the context, and he's talking about the one who has given us this purpose, this groaning that we have. In verse 5, he says, He gave the Spirit as a pledge. And look what he says in verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. That sounds like a yoke. You know what a yoke does, right? And for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. The point being is that the spirit, there's a spirit of love. The spirit of brokenness produces a spirit of love. If you'll dwell with God and take that brokenness to Him, He'll produce a greater, more deeper love for Him. That's what He was doing in my life a number of times, where I could turn to no one else. I found myself turning to Him and pouring my heart. I was trying to encourage my son to do that very thing. I pray that he does that. I pray that in his loneliness, I pray that in any discouragement that he finds, that he'll run to God with it, not the man. Because God's got a way of doing something much more solid than just looking at another man's faith. Praise God for that. But that's what I heard Brother Tom sharing this morning, you know, and as he was sharing. You got to own it. It's got to be your faith. Praise God for the faith of others, but God's wanting to do that very thing in you. He's trying to call you deeper to a deeper place. The spirit of brokenness you need, because it produces the love of Christ that controls me. It's wearing His yoke. The second thing I want you to get is that He says, take His yoke, you're going to need the spirit of reconciliation. Read on. Look at verse 17. Same context. He says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Don't forget where we've been. You know, the work of the Spirit, producing the spirit of love. And look, here's the spirit of reconciliation. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's the Spirit bringing the ministry of reconciliation. You don't have reconciliation going on in your life without the Holy Spirit. It just doesn't happen. That He's giving that ministry. He's given you a ministry. Any ministry God gives to you, He will preside over it with the work and power of the Holy Spirit, or you got no ministry. Amen. God says, I want to preside over your life with a spirit of reconciliation. Verse 19 says, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us this word, the word of reconciliation. There's a word of reconciliation, a spirit of reconciliation, He says, I want you to take. You know? You know that Tom had shared. I continue to use some of these because they were just something through the day, and it was just things I just kind of made notes of, some things that I already had in my heart. But he said that most every problem that we see in our work and our work of ministry is related to unforgiveness, to someone just not wanting to forgive. That's the ministry of reconciliation. God says, be reconciled to God. Take a good accounting. Is that right? You need to take a proper accounting, God's saying. You know, most every problem, He said, is due to the fact of bitter unforgiveness. And he said that bitter gall. Be careful of bitterness. Get the bitterness out, God says. You know, not just an hour before He had shared that, one of you ladies had shared a testimony, a personal testimony that blessed me. When I heard it, it encouraged me and blessed me. She said, a number of years ago, God did a great healing in my life. I mean, it was a mighty healing. What was shared with me, it was a praise God for the healing that had happened. And all these years have transpired and the healing's been set in place. Praise God for that. But she began to say that the healing that had taken place, it took place as a result of God began doing some things and removing this gall of bitterness. This bitter thing that I had in my life. I'd held it against some people. I'd held it against some family members. The gall of bitterness. God says, get the bitterness out. Because you're not going to be released of your burden. I cannot. But you can't take my burden until you're released from this bitter thing. Take the spirit of reconciliation, because it will remove that gall of bitterness. The ministry of the work of Holy, you know, you're going to need to come and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I'm looking for you. You're the reconciler. I need you to reconcile me. Bring the spirit of reconciliation. Remove my bitterness. You know, let it go. God says, release it. You got to release it. You want to be released? Then release it. Here again, two sides of the same coin. In order to have the spirit of reconciliation, you need the spirit of grace and truth. Turn to John 1. I want you to see that. John 1, another scripture that was read this morning. I thank you for that. Another scripture this morning, John 1, beginning in verse 12, the Word says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Guess what? It was the will of God. God's will. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Spirit of grace and truth. It was the Spirit of God producing grace and truth in Jesus. It was the Spirit of God. Look, he says in verse 16, "For all His fullness we have received, and grace upon grace." You want fullness in your life, you're going to have to have a spirit of grace and truth. You know, Jesus didn't Jesus say somewhere that you shall know the truth and the truth will do what?
Make you free.
Make you free. We want freedom and liberty, and sometimes we see so little of it in our life. We want to be released from our burden, and He says, know the truth. That, you know, I find that I can know nothing from God apart from what the Holy Spirit tells me. I need a spirit of grace and truth. I need ministering angels to administer this spirit of grace and truth to my life. It's entirely the work of the Holy Spirit. That He uses whomever He uses. I find He uses rocks if He needs to. You know what I'm saying? He has a way of using who and how and whoever. You know, I find sometimes He'll use whoever, you know, it will. You know, He's no respecter of persons. He says, I want to come to make you free. I come to make you free. I do it by the Spirit of grace and truth. And from that, I bring forth the ministry of reconciliation in your life. I want you to be about the truth. I want you to be about asking Him to... You're going to have to do some soul searching. That might require you to make a checklist of where you've got unforgiveness. Where you've set the will in your heart. If you just will not forgive, God says, I want you to forgive or you can not be released from your burden. I need you to have the spirit of joy. I want you to turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Someone look up Psalm 66, 8 and 9 for me. I may ask you to read that. If you've got the New American, I would prefer to maybe have it in the New American Standard. Psalm 66, 8 and 9 and Psalm 22, 5. Psalm 22, 5 says something like this, that from Thee comes my praise. To take His yoke, Jesus says, take my yoke. To take His yoke, you're going to need the spirit of brokenness, producing a spirit of love. I'm going to tell you something. All of our problems, you know, the bottom line is we just don't love Him like we think we do. We come to church and, oh, Jesus, praise You. We get around our husband and wife and it's not so much, you know. You know, I was grieved and convicted today in my own life of thinking, you know, what a tragedy, you know, to preach to others, to preach outside of your fellowship or to preach to others and lose members of your own family because you didn't really want to walk it that close. You wanted to engage the enemy and let the enemy use you to be a mouthpiece of seed of destruction as opposed to a tree of life. And a tree of life brings healing. And you know what? If it's real, God says, I want to produce that kind of fruit in your life and to your family. I want to make you a witness to your family. But it comes from Me. God says, that I want you to praise Me. To take My yoke, you're going to have to have the spirit of brokenness. You're going to need a spirit of reconciliation, of grace and truth, and you're going to need a spirit of praise and thanksgiving. That's the thing. Another thing. A spirit of praise and thanksgiving, He says. But as Psalm 22:25 says, that praise, from Thee comes My praise. Think of that. Lord, now if God's saying, if the Word is saying from Thee, from You, Lord, comes My praise. Well, that sounds like a spirit, last I checked, right? I need a spirit of praise. Is that right? You need a spirit of praise. You need what I'm speaking of is entirely a work of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You're going to have to pray for that to take place in your life. You're going to have to seek for that, God says. Take My yoke, Jesus says, but you're going to need the spirit of thanksgiving and praise. What does Psalm 66, 8 and 9 say? Anybody have that? Psalm 66, 8 and 9. If you don't have it, I'll read it. Psalm 66, 8 and 9.
Oh, bless.
That'll work. Go ahead.
Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved.
Bless our God, all peoples, and sound His praise abroad, who keeps us in life. I don't know, that sounds like a yoke to me. Who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. Sounds like He holds us in check. Sounds like He's covering us and He's holding us in check. Who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. That sounds like the yoke of Jesus. You know,
yeah.
It's important to take His yoke is to recognize this, is He's not going to, you're not going to, you can't wear two yokes. You're going to wear one yoke or the other. And if you, and, you know, if we're not going to wear, if you're burdened and heavy, you cannot wear His yoke because He's not sharing His glory with anybody. You know that? God's not sharing His glory with anyone. He says, I want you to wear my yoke, Jesus says. He's gentle. The Word says He's gentle. I love that about Him. He's gentle and humble. And He says, come learn of me. Come take my yoke. I want you to take my yoke. Let's turn back to that scripture, if you will, that we first began with in Matthew 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. That sounds like you're going to have to find yourself at His feet. It sounds like you and I, we're going to have to find ourselves in that place, in that holy place, in that place where there's an open heaven and He shows us the stars. He speaks some things to your heart and you say, yes, Lord. I think Tom was speaking today. He kept saying, has anybody ever had God call your name? I believe that's it. God's calling your name. In that place, He's calling your name. He's calling you to an open heaven. And He's saying, I'm want you to look and I want you to ask of me. I'm wanting you to receive. To many, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right, you know, to grace and truth. To many as received Him, to them He gave the right to grace and truth. That's freedom. That's liberty. Truth brings liberty in my life. You know, if where Carla posed a question this morning, I thought was good. She said, just where are you lame on your feet? I think is the way she said that. Just where are you lame on your feet? I think that's a question God would ask you. Just where are you lame on your feet? Just where is the burden? And how come you can't praise me? God would say to you, just how come you can't praise me if you're not able to praise me? What on earth is keeping you from praising me? Whatever that is a telling thing. God says, get in touch with that burden. What is it that's burdening your life? What makes you heavy? If you're not praising God, there's a reason. There's a reason for the hindrance. You know, I think what the Lord's saying for all of us, I want you to take my yoke, Jesus says. That's obviously something for you to possess. Is that right? You know, it was said this morning. I just hate to keep. Well, I shouldn't say that because I'm thankful to continue referring to what's already been said. I think all that's important. I think God wants to reinforce. You see, I think it's important sometimes in everything that's been said that you don't lose what's the real point. You know, my dad sometimes he gives great directions, and they're so good I get lost in all the. You know, he'll give me detailed directions. He lives in Austin. He'll give you directions. And I mean, he gives you every little turn. And I get lost. I'm saying, look, back up a minute. Can you just tell me I'm going, you know, this far for an hour and I'm going to hit this road. I take a right and I'm going to take a left on that road. That's all I need to know. Because I can get there that way. The other, I get lost in the details. I think it's important sometimes for the Holy Spirit to put His finger on just what is it He's trying to say to you. And I continue to remind you. Look, I didn't say that. God continued to remind me. There is an anointing that can break off every yoke of oppression. Do you believe that tonight? Yeah. Do you want to receive that tonight? God's asking you, receive that yoke that breaks off every oppressive thing and run with me. God says, I want you to own it. Take my yoke. Own it. Now, I used to have a friend who used to say that. It was a business thing. I worked with him. He kept saying, you know, you just can't. You know, you've been renting what I've been telling you up to now, but now you're going to have to own it. You know, I could say that to my son, you know, that you're up to this point, you've been renting what I've been telling you, and you've sort of been, you know, your children sometimes to a point, they've been renting everything you've told them, and at some point, now they're going to have to walk it out, and you're going to have to let them go. You're going to have to remand them to God's presence and His power. God's saying, oh, you want to release it. I want to release you. I'm wanting you to recognize where there's power. It's at the right hand of God the Father and Jesus making intercession. He said, I want you to get in touch with me. Come to commune with me. Come to find a place in my presence because there is a place where I will remove every yoke that you bring to me. Your King calls to you. He calls to you from your place there in Lodabar. Do you hear Him? The King calls to you in your lowliness. From your broken state, you might say. From your burden state there in Lodabar. Remember what was shared this morning, those of you who are here? From Lodabar, He called. for someone in the house of Saul, that one who was lame in his feet. There may be something lame. You may be lame on your feet someplace, burdened and heavy, but God, the King, is calling you up from that, and He wants to take your brokenness and He wants to add to it His spirit of increase. It's His spirit that can take your brokenness and produce a spirit of love and devotion for Him. That if you run to any other thing, you miss out on the possession He offers you. Take My yoke upon you. Look, learn from Me. I'll teach you, son, daughter. I'll teach you. I'll make a testimony in your life, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My load is light. You know, God's calling out to us. You know, He says you can't wear two yokes. I'm not going to share My glory. But to wear the anointed yoke, I think He says this. I'll repeat this. I think He says I'm going to have to lift the fog. If there's a fog in your life, if you're bewildered about some things, but you still wanting to carry the burden, then you need God to lift your fog. I want you to bow your head, and I want to ask something of you, just by way of just a decision tonight. I believe the Lord would have in a clear way if you have a burden tonight. I'm not asking, what I'm not asking for is everybody to stand up necessarily. Praise God if that's the case. But I'm just saying, if you're here tonight and you're carrying a burden that's it's too heavy, and you're carrying that burden and you're not getting over on it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I mean, if you've heard the word and you feel like the Lord's doing some things, and praise God, He's stirring your heart, that's great. And I'm not really addressing that. Glory to God if you're getting over on that burden and you're seeing and you're receiving from Him. But if tonight, if you're here and you're carrying a burden that's too heavy for you to bear, and you just continue to carry that, God says, you don't have to carry that. He says, I have a burden I want for you to take. And if that's you, I want everyone just to have their head bowed. But if that's you, I'd ask you just to stand up. If that's you and you're carrying a burden, I ask you to stand up. We're going to minister to that burden is what I'm driving at. I believe God wants you relief. I believe God asked me to do it this way. You lift up and we're going to pray that the fog be lifted. Because as I was sitting, some of you, I'm just looking, I'm thinking, I was reminded this afternoon, there's a fog that's keeping you in that burden state. And you'll not be released until the fog is cleared. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to clear the fog. And I want you... I want those of you on the prayer team, if you would, and I'm going to ask you all to be involved in this, those of you who are here, if you would just individually, I want you to go and intercede for each of these people, and I'm going to pray, but I pray that the Holy Spirit would release you from your burden. I'd just have them intercede for you, just as God would there. I'm not asking you to be long. I'm just saying, just each person, just to be sensitive to pray. We just want to lift that up. If those of you on the prayer team, if you would just make note of these folks, and if you would, I want to just have you to receive from the Lord. Lord, we just bless you. Lord, we just bless you. If you would just go and just pray. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, we bless you and we thank you. And in Jesus' name, we command the fog to be lifted. The fog be lifted. Jesus, you control the wind and the waves, and in Jesus' name we command the fog to be lifted. Holy Spirit, we thank you and praise you that you're working in people's lives right now, and I ask in Jesus' name you remove the burden. You release them from the burden. Lord, as they've made a choice to stand, in Jesus' name we ask you release them from that burden. Lord, if they can vocalize what that burden is, that praise God. But Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask you release them from that burden. Lord, I pray that their standing would be enough. But Lord, I pray that there's need for specificity. I pray that it would be brought out. But in Jesus' name, Lord, as those come around to pray for these, I ask you in Jesus' name, remove their burden. Release them from their burden. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, we ask you, release them from your burden. Give them the ability to take up, to own your yoke, Lord, to be released from the oppressive yoke in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Glory to your name. I thank you for the word that I heard, the word that you say that you're wanting to break off every yoke of oppression. That you have an anointing, and we thank you that it's the anointed yoke of Jesus, grace and truth. God, keep us. Keep us in that grace and truth. We thank You. It's Your favor, but it's the power of God in our life to live for You. We ask You, enable us right now. Enable us, Lord, in the weeks to come to be people, Lord, who are living for You. Not just talking about You. Not just showing up at church, but people who are living for You. We bless You and we thank You tonight. We thank You for all that You're doing, all that You've done, and we thank You for what You're yet to do just because of what You're yet to show us. But we thank You in advance for what You're going to show us because of Your yoke. We thank You for that. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.